I don't know. That's just really low energy. Open. That was low. That was low.
Okay, let's try it again. Let's try it again. Let's try it again.
On that same theme?
Oh, no, something better.
Something better. Okay.
Think What's of something better? Real. No, think of something super hilarious and awesome that everybody would like just love, and they won't even bother listening to the rest of the show because the first part is so good. So think of something like that. Go.
Okay. Knock knock.
Who's there?
Hello and welcome to episode 94 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always
is Adam.
Should I say the is part?
Yes.
Okay, it's important that we work out the fine little details here in episode 94.
Yes, is Adam.
In
Vancouver.
Oh, we all knew that. Unless you're patching in from Seattle.
No, not this week.
Just the two of us this week.
Yeah.
You know, the last couple weeks, we've had guests on the show, and so it's been the dynamic has been thrown off.
It's going to be a lot harder for me to sleep and browse Craigslist.
Right. My apologies.
Yeah, so.
So. Last week's episode.
Yeah.
One of my favorites, actually. Especially since it led to a complete game changer for me.
What was that?
We talked a little bit on the show about Amber Hughes was on last week, the wedding photographer.
Yep.
How she uses her flash.
Yes.
And by using backlights and using manual flash, like at the reception hall. And she, long story short, she fires a couple of off-camera flashes to the back of the room, backlights everybody, uses an on-camera flash to light everybody in the front, because she uses the pocket wizards to trigger the other ones, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, with me so far.
I'm with you.
I'd said I'd been wanting to do that for some time. Similar, I use the Alien Bees remotes, and I've always wanted to be able to have a couple of off-camera flashes, but still be able to fire mine on camera.
Okay.
And I was under the impression that they could do that, that was possible. And when I went to do that, I went and tried to find the relevant cord, because my little trigger sits in the hot shoe.
Yes.
Right? And yep. That's it. It occupies the hot shoe. You can't use it for anything else at that point.
Okay.
So I had thought that there was a cable you could plug in, like via the sync cable, PC sync, I believe, and I couldn't find it, and so I thought, well, maybe it just doesn't work. Maybe it's not going to happen for quite some time. I never used it like that. And okay. Then I found the cable a while ago. This is before the episode, and I went to plug it in, and it didn't fit. So I thought, okay, I'm out of luck. But after talking with Amber and the way that she does it, the way that she plugs her Pocket Wizard trigger into her PC sync cable, leaving her hot shoe free, I thought, I'll bet you I can do it. So I found that cable again. Turns out the end was bent over a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it plugged right in. I jiggled it a little bit, plugged right in. Boom. I'm off to the races.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. I yelled ta-da, and my wife was very, very confused. So I ran some tests, and it is exactly what I want to be doing.
Cool. It is.
And I wish I'd thought of this or done this episode, you know, 3 weeks ago, because at that wedding I shot a couple weeks ago, this would have been wildly handy.
Yes.
Not even wildly handy, but 100% extreme handy, if that's a thing.
Yes. Sounds super handy.
Sounds like Gatorade to me.
Yeah.
So what that means is I can still plug my 580 EX2 onto my camera in the hot shoe and have it be fully functioning.
Right.
Now, that can be in manual, that can be in ETTL mode if I want, and the trigger plugs into the jack on the side of the camera, and that just, all it does is trips the other two flashes on the remote.
Yeah.
So those will be set to manual. Those I can't do ETTL with, but basically I could, if I was in the wedding scenario, I could walk around in the dark and trigger the back two lights for backlight, and then adjust the front light accordingly. I would bounce it off the wall just to add in some fill.
Yep.
So, but I can run that on ETTL and use the flash exposure compensation if I wanted. I can run it on manual if I like. Bounce it. I can turn it off if I like. Now, why would I turn it off?
In case you wanted a different effect.
Okay, let me rephrase that. I won't turn it off, but I will disable the flash part of it. This is part of the game changer for me that I really wish I had on that day.
I'm not sure. You're going to have to give me this one.
On your flash, it has the built-in focus assist where it hucks those little red lines out.
Yep.
And if you turn your flash off, that goes as well. If you turn your flash on, go into the menu, you can actually disable the flash part of it, except for the focus assist will continue to work.
Okay.
So when I was walking around with live view trying to focus the best I could have been using this method instead and much, much faster. Even if I didn't want to use the on-camera flash, I could have used the focus assist. But it would have been very simple to mix in ETTL, balance flash, just to add a little flick of light onto the people's faces.
Right.
Now, I should say, I am 100% thrilled with the results I got. I just would have gotten there much faster if I had been using this method.
Okay.
You still awake?
I am. No, I am still awake.
Now, you have the cactus?
Yeah.
Triggers Cactus, the version 5?
The V5s, yeah.
Which I do recommend. Like when it came time for me to buy my off-camera flash, it was quite some time ago, and the Cactus was still on version 2 or something like that. And not to pull any punches, they were kind of crappy.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I've had no issues with them whatsoever.
No, the version 5 ones, like, people seem to love, and I know you've had no problems with them, and I would probably even recommend them based on your recommendation. One of the things I like about
cheap
it,
too, so
yeah, you can't go wrong with them.
Yeah,
but you are able to put the trigger on your camera via the hot shoe, and it gives you an additional hot shoe to put your flash in.
Yep.
Do you ever use it that way?
Yep.
And do you mix flash? Do you use ETTL and manual flash?
I don't think I can use ETTL flash in that method.
Right.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I have to go manual with all of them.
If you can use ETTL on there, I'll be very impressed, especially at that price point.
No, I'm pretty sure you can't. I think I had tried when I first got them and realized quickly that you can't. I remember there's a reason I never try anymore. I also like just full manual control, but I'm pretty sure I cannot go ETTL with the trigger on top of the camera and then the flash on top of the hot shoe on the trigger.
Right. Yeah. I prefer full manual as well, but there are times when it's you're just running around and you don't have time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
that's where it came in handy. So that's the one little takeaway I had from last week. And I know where I think we're going to try to get Amber back on the show in the future to give us some more info.
Cool.
Yeah, that's the plan. So, what did you shoot this week?
Well, I didn't shoot much in the first half of the week, but I've had a really busy last 2 days of photography, so I've made up for it. Yesterday, we had a lantern festival in Richmond, which is a yearly occurrence, and what the kids do is they make their own homemade lanterns at the preschool with 4-liter milk jugs, which they cut in half, and then they decorate with different cellophane or, what's that? Mm-hmm. Tissue paper. So they make their lanterns and they parade around the park. So they have a whole bunch.
They use tissue paper. They don't use real candles then, do they?
No. The tissue paper is on the outside of the lantern.
But they actually use real candles?
Just little tea lights inside of the bottom of the container.
Okay.
So there's a little tea light and they decorate the outside and then they parade around the park and it's kind of a neat annual celebration. They have a whole bunch of things going on inside of the school. They had face painting and they had this big drumming presentation. They have a magician that comes in and does all sorts of tricks and stuff. So there's a whole bunch of things there. So I took some photos of the kids doing their various things in the uh,
in the indoor gym slash high school of where they had all this different stuff set up. So okay. I did that, and I came up with a new technique.
Okay.
So I think I developed this. I've never seen it before, so mm-hmm. I'm going to claim it unless somebody else can show me proof that they've already done this.
Okay. Now let me ask quickly: is this when you're shooting the kids outside or inside?
For inside shooting.
Okay.
So I was in a scenario where the we're indoors, high ceilings, which actually had white roofs. It was kind mm-hmm. of underlit. The whole high school is very underlit, so not a ton of light. And so what I ended up doing is, because there was a white roof and there was also white flooring, okay. I used two flashes, which I was holding in my hand because I wanted off-camera flash. Mm-hmm. Didn't want to be firing it right in people's faces and my kids' faces. So I took my two flashes and I sort of put them back to back, both at the 90-degree angle. So one was facing up at the ceiling and one was facing down at the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put a black foamy around the one that was facing up on the ceiling. So I had my remote triggers on the bottom of the flashes, and then I had my little transmitter on the camera. So I walked around and I bounced one off the white floor that would bounce back up and light them from underneath, and then I bounced one up off the ceiling that would come down and just add a little bit of extra kick to the top and behind them, depending on the angle that I shot it up with the black foamy thing. Mm-hmm. And absolutely loved the effect. So I'm calling this the Schwartz method.
Oh, I've actually done this.
Have you? With this exact configuration?
No, I'm just taking the wind out of your sails, man. Okay, of course. Okay. No, that sounds like a great idea.
And it was just, again, wide enough that I could wrap my hand around. And I put a picture of my wife just with her smaller hands attempting this technique, so that we can post it to show exactly what I mean by this. But with my two flashes, I can easily wrap my hand around both of them at once. So I'm just holding them wherever off to the side as I got the other hand with the camera. So it's very easy to do this with just one person. You don't need the voice-activated light stand in this case.
Now, this style of lighting, the up and down, has definitely been done.
Oh, I'm sure it has. Yeah, I'm sure.
In terms of the run and gun version of this, I have not seen it. I like the sounds of it.
Yeah, I didn't get a ton of time to really perfect it. Just that as soon mm-hmm. as I started doing it, I saw I really, really like the light. So maybe I'll send one or two pictures from the indoor light that I liked using this method, so can sort of get an idea of the results I got on a first try.
Did you get a chance to sort of monkey with the ratios of the light output?
Yeah, I messed around a little bit. Now, I'm not going to remember in the pictures what they were, because mm-hmm. I only did this for about 5 minutes. But I can guarantee when I get indoor, if I've got a neutral floor to work with, I will definitely be using this again.
Good.
So anyway, so that was something new. And then the other photography situation that I came across this weekend was the pumpkin patch. So we did that today. Myself and the two kids went out to the pumpkin patch. It was a pro D day, and you know, one of those days where the kids don't go to school and the teachers learn a lot amongst themselves.
Sure.
So there was one of those days. So I had both kids and figured it would be a good idea to go to the pumpkin patch myself on a day where everybody else decided to do the same thing. So what I came to the realization, and here's maybe the takeaway, is as a photographer, going to a pumpkin patch with two children and hoping to take a lot of great pictures, it's much easier to bring your wife along.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because taking care of the kids, you know, catering to their needs, whatever, you know, they need water, food, whatever it is, it's a lot harder to do that, carry pumpkins and take photos all at the same time.
And plus trying to have a few belts of scotch in there.
Yeah, and a few cigars.
Slows it down. So, I agree. Now, which lens? Like, first of all, I love shooting at the pumpkin patch. Like, we were there last year with you guys at a different one. I love it because it's wide open. There's a lot of stuff going on, but you can get back and get, you know, use your long lens and get some really nice looking pictures.
Yes, I did not do that.
Now, that's what I was going to ask. Which lens did you bring?
Just the 30 millimeter. I didn't even, never in my mind did it say it would be a good idea to take the 70 to 200. Mm-hmm. I was packing as a minimalist, so I had my tiny little camera bag with just the 30 millimeter on it. No way was I packing a flash or anything additional because right. I knew I was going to be carrying pumpkins, potentially children. And it was a no-brainer. I would have liked to have done that. And of course, had my wife been along, I would have bought the full camera bag with, you know, the 70 to 200 and probably the 50 millimeter as well. But yeah, I was going with one lens and that's it. So I took the 30 millimeter and did the best I could. So I haven't even really looked at the pictures at all yet. So I'm hoping I got a few good ones. But
See, I shot something very similar. Like we went here in Tubingen, they just built a new playground for the kids.
Yeah.
And it's a big deal. It's actually it was in the newspaper, so it's pretty exciting.
Right. New playgrounds are big.
Yeah, a lot happens here in Tubingen. And anyway, it's a whole pirate theme. It's called the Piratenspielplatz, and it's a big pirate ship, and it's really quite cool.
Yeah.
But we've had unseasonably warm weather here, and with the new, you know, playground that opened a week ago.
Yeah,
it's been the destination, so it's been it was absolutely jammed.
Right,
like just everybody and their dog and their kid also were there. You know, and so we hadn't been yet, so we thought, you know, okay, we're gonna meet some of our friends who also have kids the same age, and we're all gonna go down there. And typically on the playgrounds, I like to bring my long lens.
Yeah,
which unfortunately there is a creepy connotation to that, so I try to always be seen with my kid.
Right.
Because people don't love it. But anyways, that part aside, I like taking pictures with the long lens at the playground. You get really good results.
Right.
Except for on this day, because it was so crowded, it was first of all, there's people walking in front of you, which is fair enough. It's the playground.
Yeah.
But just, you know, Emily was off exploring and running around and climbing up the pirate ship, and you kind of got to watch her because she's not quite at the age where she's not going to fall.
Right. She's going to walk the plank.
She's going to walk the plank. Damn, that was good.
It was a pirate reference.
Yes. No, I get it. That was good. I wish I'd thought of it. Yeah. I'm going to edit it in like it's – I'm going to change your voice to make it sound like mine. Okay. Take full credit. So anyway, so it was very difficult. So I ended up having the camera strapped to my back for the bulk of the day, trying to basically parent instead of take pictures. So I understand exactly the situation you're in, except you had doubled up, and my wife was there and not my second kid.
Right.
So way worse, way more difficult for you. So I wish I'd brought the 30 mil because then you could just stand close, you could get the pictures you want, and not have to worry about, you know, your kid being unsupervised.
Yes.
So this week's episode is really about parental supervision. Write it down. What else did I shoot? I shot new gumboots. Did I send you that picture?
No.
Okay.
For you?
No. Yeah. Yeah, I was really excited about my new gumboots.
You got the Spider-Man ones?
Yep. My daughter got her first pair of gumboots, which is exciting for her
because
we had puddles one day. So she got to enjoy that, so I took some pictures of that. I shot a video, actually. I got a phone call to shoot a last-minute job. Hey, I need someone to shoot a video for a book trailer tomorrow.
Okay.
That was last week, so I already shot it. That was good.
Okay.
A lot of challenges, though.
Let's hear them.
We're going to put 10 seconds on the clock, and we'll see how long it takes for you to get bored. The over-under is 10 seconds.
Okay.
So if you make it past 10 seconds, we'll see here. It's like a rodeo.
Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, the explanation is the worst part. No, it was basically I was the one-man gang again, which is kind of what I do. That's my job, is just to be the camera, sound, director, all those things rolled into one, which is, you know, stressful.
Right.
Especially since I had no lead time, but then we go out and we're shooting in another city near here that was just jammed. Like it was in the downtown marketplace area.
Yeah.
And it was just absolutely jammed with people. And so I'm recording sound to my audio recorder.
Right.
and I got a video going on my camera, so they're not linked together. So typically, that's when we use the slate or the hand clapping just to sync, right? We don't have time for that. Okay. So what we're going to do is just record separately and then sync it up later, but there's a bunch of new software that can handle that. Final Cut Pro is one of them. There's another one called Pluralize that basically they take the crappy audio and analyze the waveform and then take the good audio and match it up to the similar waveform patterns and sync everything together.
Right.
And then you just use the good audio. So everything's good. Apparently it works very well. I've never used it. But the editor on this project was going to use that. Except for... how are you still listening to this?
No, I was gonna think in my head, would it be rude if I was just started to say boring?
No, I gave you the out before we started.
Yeah. I was just gonna wait and see how long you would talk about this for.
I got like 30 more minutes on this. So anyway, long story short,
oh, really?
Loud yeah, good luck. Loud crowd means very difficult, that there's no way audio is going to sync up.
Right.
So that story needed an ending.
I'm glad you gave it one.
Well, no, I was shooting with a long lens. Like, I was very far away shooting at 200 millimeters to compress the action and also to... Anyways, this week's photo challenge.
Okay. This week's photo challenge. What was it?
I don't know. I need a nap after that. This week's photo challenge is I decided to shoot a church in autumn.
Church in autumn.
Which is kind of an odd pairing-ish. Yeah.
Why?
Well, it's just not odd, but random, I think.
God doesn't know the seasons, does he?
He's a fan of the show.
Yeah. Well, I just mean the seasons. Like, you know, what does it have to do with anything?
Well, I honestly, because of your attitude lately, I thought I'm going to throw you a softball.
Oh.
Out over the middle of the plate.
Really?
And I did. That's what I thought. I was like, well, and it's not going to hurt me either.
Why is it a softball for me? We haven't even had fall here.
Yeah, but that's what I hadn't thought of. I hadn't anticipated that part. Like, it's about the time of the year that you would have fall, though.
We started getting it this week.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. It is late, to be fair to, I guess, Al Gore kind of screwed you over on this one.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is this happened for me, too. I thought this, like, honestly, I thought this was going to be a hanging curveball for both of us.
Okay.
Where it's just going to go, all right, that's in the upper deck.
Yeah.
Turns out, no. Turns out, I mean, I did, you know, I managed, you hit a tapper back to the mound. But you beat it out, so good for you. Okay. Good for you. Good hustle.
Baseball analogies are good at this time of year.
I've been watching, and don't tell me what the last game, though, because I have to watch that today. Oh, okay. No spoilers. So anyways, so it wasn't, I thought for me it would be easy as well, because, churches, they have a lot of churches here, they're pretty nice looking, fall colors, boom, let's do it.
Right.
And yours, with you, I thought of Minoru.
Right, because that's where I got married.
That's right, that's where you got married, and that's not why I thought of you, but I thought because it is a nice, outside, it's a really nice looking church, it's, you know, fall, all that stuff.
Right.
Wow.
Are you going to keep talking?
No, you want to, let's talk about yours first then.
Okay,
so here it is. Here's Minoru.
Here's Minoru Chapel. I took this picture 2 days ago because the photo challenge was coming up on me quickly and I had to do it maybe 3 days ago. I don't remember. Anyways, it was one of the few moments this week where it wasn't raining when I went out there, but it started raining when I got there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was scouting for a location. I saw this archway. I haven't been to Minoru Chapel, I don't think, since I got married or even close to it. I kind of forgot where it was.
And you were pretty drunk that day.
Yeah, well, I had a few. But so this was all like rediscovery for me. I didn't really remember much about it. I actually looked at the photo that you took of Minoru Chapel that was in our wedding album before I went out there. And I thought to myself, well, I could do better than that. So...
Also, I was pretty drunk that day.
So anyway, so I went out to the archway, and I had my 30 millimeter lens on my camera. And you know what the best part about this was? I went out there and I thought, oh, this is going to be great. There's lots of leaves on the ground, except for the City of Richmond cleaner upper crew was there, and they completely were blowing the leaves off of everything and raking them up. So I had to wait till they would be out of the shot. And as you can see, there are no leaves anywhere because they've cleaned it all up. So that kind of hurt my fall theme for this photo.
You have to show up. You generally have to show up during their 6-hour nap. Yeah.
I'm not going to critique the City of Richmond because I saw it in full effect. They were all over this area. So you can see it's very green on the grass leading up to the church there. There are leaves around the perimeter, but I liked this vantage point. So that's why I went with it. So this is actually a panorama, because if I wanted to get this shot with my crop sensor and a 30 millimeter lens, I probably would have been at another 200 meters back, except for there's bushes and trees and stuff there. So I couldn't get this shot without taking about 30 pictures from this point. Okay. So that's a pano, which you can see because the archway kind of shows some faults of the stitching software that I use.
Okay.
So if you look at it close, like the separation of the bars isn't right and stuff. So at first glance, I don't think anyone's going to really clue into that. But once you look at it, you're like, oh yeah, there's the stitch wasn't perfect.
Now that you pointed out, I noticed the one gap.
Yeah, there's
and
one gap.
I thought maybe it was
bigger.
Just one was missing.
No, and maybe it was. I don't remember seeing a gap like that, so it's possible. Yeah. But you can also just see like the bars aren't perfectly aligned and stuff. There's
in
little,
the vertical, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not perfect. But like I say, this is I was pretty happy with the result, considering I was kind of crouched down and I was shooting up, and like the angle kept varying, right? Because again, it was raining and I was trying to get this done before both my parking ran out and before my camera got wrecked. So, So here you go. There you go. I was really wanted to make sure that I got that orange tree in the picture, because that was the only thing that said fall to me in this picture.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I wanted like to keep it tight with the archway, because once I get back a little further, you start to see buildings and other things that really weren't that appealing to this picture. So that's why it is cropped the way it is cropped.
I didn't notice it was a panorama until you just pointed it out, so I probably wouldn't have noticed the small flaws.
Yes.
But there's that. And this is generally what I had in mind, except for some bright orange and yellow leaves.
Yes.
And that's not your fault.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Good picture would be better if Mother Nature had cooperated with you.
Yeah, and you know what? If I had it to do over and it wasn't raining, there was a bunch of leaves just beside this archway. I probably could have done something cool with, like, you know, throwing them down this laneway, but I also didn't want to get in a fight with the City of Richmond guys that just cleaned everything up. So
that would look awesome.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to scatter all the leaves back out here again. See you later, guys.
See, get back out here and fix this. Yeah. You know what they like to hear? My taxes pay your salary.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the move.
I have a shirt that says that.
I try that with cops all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care how fast I was going. Well, you know what? Maybe we'll try again next week. Okay.
All right.
I know, the same thing with me. I thought, you know, hey, I'm going to go out there and this is going to be taking candy from a baby. You know, if we want to go with another analogy. But I got out there to the church. There's two different churches in town that I wanted to use. Now, I knew ahead of time, they're very large churches. Now, Minoru is very small.
I don't know. I don't have a church measuring system.
Well, the good thing about getting married at Minoru is that no matter how many people come to your wedding, it's packed.
Right. Okay.
So you remember your wedding was packed.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant the actual physical size, height kind of issue, not the amount of people that you'd be able to fit inside.
No, no, no. I was talking about the depth of the foundation.
Okay. All right. Now we're clear.
No, yeah, just physical size, about how big, you know. So these other churches in town here are very, very large.
Okay.
Like the one main one that I was, the Stiftskirche. In case you're in town, is very, very large. So I got there and quickly realized that there were no deciduous trees in the vicinity. Deciduous is the leaf, right?
Right.
I think
Is it?
Coniferous versus deciduous?
I don't know.
I don't
Grade
know.
Grade 5 science?
Yeah, yeah, ask your daughter.
Yeah, I'm going to fail.
Yeah. Anyways, there's no trees with the leafy color changings.
Okay.
That's the scientific Latin term. So I thought, wow, that's going to be difficult. So I actually ran around like, let's talk about my picture first because I don't want to talk about all my other failings. Here's what I came up with.
You know what's funny is that last year we did a fall picture,
mm-hmm.
and you used leaf and water.
Did I really?
Yeah, your one last year is better though.
Yeah, I didn't marry the whole church tower in, did I?
That's true.
This year I did. This year I felt I had this. First of all, I had the same struggle you did with the weather because right. it's been unseasonably warm. It was 23 degrees yesterday. We were in shirt sleeves, and which means there's some changing of the colors of the leaves, but not a lot.
Right.
Not overwhelming like I was hoping. And then with there being none of the trees in that area of the church, it was difficult because I took my wide angle lens and thought, okay, I'm going to get a huge wide shot. There's going to be tons of colors. Didn't happen.
Right.
So I was on struggle mode. Now, how do I marry these things together? How do I marry these two elements? So I went and picked a leaf off the ground and took it like, you know, a couple blocks over to the church. And now how do I get this leaf to be in the photo with the church? And I'm doing all kinds of weird things. I'm holding it up in the foreground and photographing it. And everything I came up with looked horrible. Like it just did. I was like, that's not a picture of anything.
Right.
That doesn't exist. What is this? First of all, if you're going to set up a picture, it should actually be interesting, and it wasn't. I took the leaf inside the church and rested it on the pew and took a picture of it, and it wasn't half bad, except it didn't mean anything.
Right.
So ultimately, I went outside, found the fountain. There's a fountain outside the church.
Yeah.
St. George killing the dragon. Boom. You can't miss with that. took a photo of that reflection. Horrible.
Okay.
The leaf was floating in there. And it was terrible. So I went down to the river and got this shot here. So
it's not from a lack of try. That's what you're saying.
Oh, that's the worst part is my lousy photo isn't even a phone-in job.
Right. This no, is me. I appreciate trying. The effort. And you know what? I think in the perfect light with the right leaves, this would be a fantastic photo.
Mm-hmm.
But it again, for me, it looks like the water's polluted. Again, not your fault, but that kind of takes away from the photo for me.
Mm, those are just bubbles.
Okay. There's a lot foam. Of them.
The water's clean.
Yeah. There's that to me, I cannot help but look at all of those bubbles in the water rather than your photo. Yeah. So again, if the water was a little bit more still and it was sharper and the leaves were a different color, because the leaves kind of blend in a little bit with you know, the yellow on yellow.
You know what? That's there. Funny you should mention. First of all, the reason the water is like that is because a couple of kayakers had just come by. I was just getting all set up because there was no leaves in the water. I had to go throw leaves in the water
right.
upstream
right.
and then walk back downstream, you know, wait for them to get there.
Yeah.
And so my test shot was still it was awesome. No leaves, but the water was great. And then two kayakers came by. And I'm shooting right as the sun is disappearing. So I have literally minutes to make this shot.
Yeah.
So I can't wait for it to be completely still, and hence the pollution. And all the leaves were yellow. You're absolutely right. And to the point that afterwards, I tried cheating in Photoshop and painting those leaves red instead of yellow. But it didn't ring true.
Right.
And so ultimately, it might have looked cooler, but it just wasn't quite authentic.
Well, I appreciate your try.
Yeah, I'm going to go have a nap.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's the slow pitch softball was just struck right. out.
Well, it's struck good. Out. You know, it's good that, you know, we can sort of see sometimes it's hard. You know,
yeah.
all the powers are against you, you know.
Yeah.
The powers that be, they're just all the forces in the universe are acting against you. They don't want you to make a Rembrandt here.
Well, this would be more of a Monet with the reflections, but
okay.
Or a Manet, I forget. It doesn't matter. Whew. Okay.
All right.
Many failed attempts. That was my takeaway.
Yeah.
Never try.
Yeah.
This week's topic, details.
What does that mean?
The magazine.
Oh.
No, not the magazine. Yeah, we're talking about how to shoot the details.
Okay.
The little things.
I can't wait to hear. I don't know. I don't know how you do this.
It was a big surprise for you.
Yeah, details. I don't know.
This is one of the goals when you're taking a photo. The main goal, I would say, the primary goal is to tell a story.
Right.
Ultimately, I mean, even if it's a snapshot or whatever, later on you want to look through those pictures and you want to remember the story that's happening.
Right.
So how does one do that? What's your first instinct?
Most of the time I'm telling a story of what my kids did that particular day. So I take pictures of what they're doing.
Right. Our instinct is to take a wide picture, not necessarily wide, but to include a lot of things and
context.
In context, exactly. And then there's nothing wrong with that. That's a great thing. I do it all the time. I was in New York 8 years ago. Does it matter? Do you want to see my ticket stub?
No.
Let's move on then.
Yeah.
So about 8 years ago, I think it was roughly, I was in New York. I was just there by myself, just spent a week touring around. And one of the things I wanted to go see was Strawberry Fields in Central Park.
Okay.
Are you aware of it?
Yeah, I've never been, but I know of it.
It's right across the street from where John Lennon used to live. And there's a big, huge, it's not a mural because it's not on a wall, but it's like a mosaic, like on the ground.
Okay.
It says Imagine. Now it's huge. It's a huge, huge thing. And so when I got there, I thought, I really wanted to photograph this, and I had black and white film in my camera, and I was really excited about shooting this. Except for somebody had made like a peace sign out of flowers in the middle of it, and then left his hat, asking for donations just outside of the center. Like just sort of in the middle of the whole mosaic.
Okay.
And there was a whole bunch of other stuff all around, like other people's stuff laying on the mosaic. And I thought, I would like to take a picture of this entire thing. Except, and so normally I would either ask people to move their things or just move them and put them back later. But when you're in New York by yourself, you don't do that.
No.
At least I didn't do that.
Yeah, it would have been a risky move.
So I thought, oh man, so what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to get in close and take a photo of just the center, just the detail of this mosaic, which is what I ended up doing. And it accidentally has become one of the best photos I've ever taken.
Cool.
It's the one I've
given
out. I know
the photo. I've seen it, so you don't have to sell it to me.
Right. And I've given out, I've sold it. I've given it out as gifts to people. Like it's on my wall. So anyways, that's the point. But I would not have taken it had there not been those parameters there that forced me to go in and take the detail shot.
Right.
And it would have been a horrible picture. I've seen pictures. If you go on to Flickr and you look at pictures of the entire thing, you recognize quickly that it's not good looking. The outside part of the center part's great. Outside, not so much.
Okay, well, good. See, like happy accident.
Happy accident, but that kind of has sort of informed my picture taking moving forward.
Okay.
And so I highly recommend looking for those sorts of details, like the little tiny things, a doorknob or something like that. Okay?
Yep.
Now, something else that this, in this case, it doesn't really apply. But details also offer a chance at what we call good exposition. Any clue what exposition is?
A way to practice how you expose something?
Yeah, photographically, it's not what we're talking about.
Okay.
It's in terms of storytelling.
No, I don't know.
So when you're watching a TV show or a movie or something like that, and you start to... The story starts to unfold in front of you.
Right.
Right? They can either tell the story or they can hint at the story, but there's always the really bad examples of when they don't... Like, something just happens and it just doesn't seem true. Like, okay. A character will be talking to themselves alone in the car, revealing intricate plot details for no reason at all.
Okay.
That's bad exposition.
Right.
But there's good exposition as well when it makes you feel like you're discovering it yourself. And now in photographically, that's what we can do. If we're looking at this from a storytelling perspective, and we basically take a small picture of a detail of a scene and allow the viewer to basically fill in the blanks themselves.
Give me an example.
The gumboots. I shot my daughter wearing her gumboots.
Okay.
Now I shot some context pictures. These were film I happened to shoot the other day. I shot some wider pictures of her in her gumboots, but there is one that now I didn't send it to you, did I?
No.
I should have sent it to you.
Would it helped in this scenario?
In this scenario, I'll post the picture.
Okay, post the picture.
So I took a picture of just her gumboots and her reflection in the water of the puddle she was stepping into. And the rest, the details fill in themselves. I think you can get the idea of what's going on in this story.
Okay.
Based on that. Are we done?
Yeah, that's it.
I'm actually looking for the picture now. I want to send it to you so you have an idea of what the heck I'm talking about.
No, I can visualize it. You painted a beautiful word picture there.
Probably never needed to take the photo in the first place.
Yeah. Well, and now when you look at the picture and realize it isn't that good, you're going to really be scrambling this week to take a better picture of the context you described.
Yeah, no, before I post this tomorrow, yeah. Good point. So, but oftentimes, you know, you can take people's portraits like this, where you just take a close-up of a certain thing, or boudoir photos, very popular. These are often, this is examples of that, where people would just take, a close-up of a hip or something like that, whatever you choose,
right,
and let it sort of tell the story, and it becomes good art on the wall.
Okay. No, I'm with you, yeah.
I really like, for me, it's allowing the viewer to sort of sort things out themselves. It involves them instead of just looking at the picture, they're now involved, and there's a whole participation. Now, these are kind of abstract examples, and I know we like to give hard-hitting takeaways on the show.
Right.
But that's difficult to do in this situation.
I think, however, I think there's a takeaway somewhere there.
On vacation, when you go somewhere on vacation, again, your instinct is to take a giant wide photograph. Hey, I'm here in, I don't know, Bangkok? Where do you go on vacation?
Disneyland.
There you go. You want to take a big, wide shot. Now, that's great. Like, it is nice to have that. But it is. I find those to be rather impersonal photos.
I agree.
Because you can go online, and if you want to see that, on Flickr, everybody's taking that photo, and that's great. Hey, here is Disneyland. I was here. The end. But if you go in and start, in addition to that, taking close-ups of little bits of, like, let's say you're at Disneyland, and so you have a close-up of, I haven't been there in many, many years, but perhaps a little sign or a doorknob that sticks out that will jog your memory, or a small detail of the Space Needle, something like that. I don't know how you would do that.
Right.
But something that's personal to you, and what does that remind you of? And will it register with other people? Will there be enough information in that little bit for people to make the connection and say, oh, that's probably in Disneyland?
And, I mean, here's something that I think I can add to that. If you're either posting these pictures online or putting them in some sort of scrapbook, I'd like to pair a picture like that with a picture of, in my case, my children's reaction to something like that. So in Disneyland, you might have a picture. Most of the pictures I took were my kids' reactions to certain things, right? So instead of watching the parade, for the most part, I'm not watching the parade. I'm turned around and I'm watching them watch the parade.
Right.
And I'm trying to shoot a tiny piece of the parade going by so you know that there's something there, but with my kids, awe or pointing or whatever it is, reacting to that. And the reason I bring that up is because, yesterday when we were, or 2 days ago when we were at the Lantern Festival, and they had the magician on there, it's pretty unexciting for me to take photos of a guy doing magic on stage, but with the fun of it being taking a close up reaction of a big smile or some kind of reaction to something they're doing. And to me, that's an interesting story.
Great example. That's a great example. It makes it personal, and other people you will be engaged by that as well.
But I find it funny, and again, maybe it's just because I think I'm better than everybody else. But everybody, no, not everybody, but most people, 90% of the people in this exact same scenario are all photographing or videoing that magician's act. And I don't get it. Are they going to watch it? Or like, you know, it's kind of like, mm-hmm. I think we talked about it way back when, like taking photos of the animals at the zoo. What if I take them, what am I going to do with them?
Exactly.
Right.
For me, it was recently was when we were at the P&E and those guys were doing backflips on the motorcycles and the snowmobiles.
Right.
Which was awesome. And because I wanted to walk around the P&E unencumbered, I only brought my 30mm lens. That was it.
Right.
Not the lens for that. But I thought, man, these guys are amazing. I want to take pictures of this. And I fired away. I took a couple hundred pictures. And then got home and deleted them all.
Yeah.
Because I thought, what am I going to do with these?
But there's a difference there. And for me, I did the same thing. And the reason being, you know, I'm practicing technical stuff. I want to see, you know, with a motorcycle moving at such a speed, you know, what shutter speed do I need to freeze it? And, you know, I'm working on just like almost looking through the eyes of what a sports photographer does with this kind of fast moving action, just kind of looking at it from that side of things rather than, you know, thinking that this is going to be a great photo for me to put online or to put up on my wall. It's more just a practice, like a technical thing.
Right. If I'd had a much longer lens, in this case, even longer than 200 mils.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have shot some details.
Right.
Of the guy doing these flips. And that would have filled in the blanks a lot better. And engaged people. What I like is when I've taken a close-up picture of something that is, how do I describe it? Like it's fairly unique, but it's recognizable. And so people look at that and say, you know, I've been to Byron Beach. I know that door. I keep using the door because I wrote down door handle as an example. I don't know why.
Right.
But, I know that area of the beach, or I know like the one little thing. I know I've been there.
Right.
Versus the big wide shot where they go, well, yeah, everybody's been there. So there's that connection angle. So, plus they look good framed on your wall.
Right. And you can pretend that you're better than everybody else because you notice that detail.
Don't feel like I'm pretending.
Okay.
I think my t-shirt pretty much says it all. So, but what's important here, and here is the takeaway, is get coverage. Get your wide shot, your medium shot, and your close-up. That's how we shoot, you know, they shoot movies and that. And that's when I go shoot my video work, films and stuff like that. I always get the coverage for editing.
Yeah.
But it works great in photography as well. So as soon as you snap your wide shot, how we work in film generally is you shoot your wide shot and then you move in for close-ups.
Right.
And that's something to think about next time you're taking pictures of anything. You can take pictures of your guitar. Snap a photo of your guitar and then move in and take just the, you know, two frets. Or just the strings, or just something very small. Move in and look for that. When you're on vacation, take a wide picture of the marketplace, and then find two cobblestones that are together. Or I don't have to tell you; you can figure out the rest yourself.
Great. I was just gonna hope that you were gonna give more examples.
Yeah, I have a long list of things that exist in life. Animals, coffee.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's this week. Is make sure you shoot the details. Look for the details and things. They will tell the story.
Great.
So, challenge for next week.
Can I give a challenge ever?
Do you have one?
I might.
I have one that ties in.
Okay, let's hear yours, and then I can shut it down if I don't like it.
Since they're so popular, detail shots are so popular in boudoir photography, this week's challenge is to take boudoir photos of Adam's wife.
Okay, you're on.
Now, to be fair, this one, I'll be cheating this week because I took mine 3 weeks ago. So, your dad was there. Ask him.
Oh, this isn't right. And she's like right behind. My wife's right here. She's in the same room as I'm recording.
Oh, she knows.
Okay.
She's cool with it. It'll be flattering, trust me.
Okay.
Yeah. If people wanted to... Okay, anyways. No, actually, let's just do a close-up detail shot.
Close-up detail shot.
Now, it can be boudoir photos of your wife. I'll be very surprised if you do that. If you post that, I'll be... Huh.
I'll ask her.
Yeah. I can pretty much guarantee the response. However, unless it's done well, unless you could do something that... Yeah, I don't know.
No. Maybe. It's a no-go.
No?
Yeah, it's a no-go.
I don't mean to make it weird. I was not thinking necessarily. Anyways, just detail shot. Detail shot that's going to tell a story.
All right.
Well, the rest of the part, just detail shot. The story part's up to you. Okay. I can't dictate that.
Okay, I'll figure something out.
Try not to suck this week.
All right, I'll do better.
As will I. So, there you go. Adam, where can people find your pumpkin patch pictures and the what have you?
I'm going to really hope my wife puts together a podcast by the beginning of this, or not a podcast, a blog by the beginning of this week with the pumpkin patch photos at schwartzchronicles.com.
Why don't you post them on twohosers.com?
You know what? Blog post. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to blog. I forgot how it all works, but I'm going to figure it out.
Wonderful. We're all on pins and needles.
Yeah.
Edge of our seat. Boy, is this the week. Now, in all fairness to you, I have done zero blogging myself. I feel like I've been keeping my head above water as it is.
Right.
Running around doing 1 million things at once. So I do appreciate it. It's just that this has gone on for so long, Adam.
Okay, I'll try. I'm going to try harder.
This is absurd.
Okay.
Okay, and then
your stuff.
My stuff, that's right. That's the important part.
Right.
AlanAttridge.com, but the two of us, the Twitter, the everything else you need to know, twohosers.com. That's where you can find everything you need to know about the show.
Great.
Considering signing up for Facebook for the show.
Really?
I think that seems to be where people congregate. Have you heard of it, this Facebook thing?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I haven't used it in a couple of years, so I'm
not. I'm that guy.
Yeah, I used it at the beginning, and then just was like, yeah, no, I don't have time for this.
I don't think I have time for it either on a personal level. I can't imagine having time. However, I think it might happen for the show. I'll look into it. If anybody out there thinks we should be on Facebook, let us know, and we'll go from there. So until then, twohosers.com. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.